On the show today, we have PRIT Creating Services' very own Kyle Stutzman talking about what to do with a tech leader vacancy at your credit union, something that's happening more and more these days, so check it out. And before we get on with the interview, here's a quick word from our sponsor.
What are some of the most incredible parts of owning a business?
The most incredible part is the journey of it all. The people you get to meet, the rooms you get to be in. That's hands down the best part is you don't know where it's going to take you, but it's the best ride ever. Get through all the downs because the ups are way better.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.
Welcome to our show. And on today's program, Mr. Kyle Stutzman returns to the show. Kyle, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Mike. Thanks for having me back on.
You're very welcome. How are things at PRIT these days?
Things are very busy.
Good.
That's the way it is across our industry.
So it's
a very good sign, and we're benefited, feel very blessed with all the work that credit unions are throwing away. I think we're up to 94, 96. It's hard to keep track of the various credit union relationships, so we're having a lot of fun.
Congratulations. Yeah. Well, that's great news. Great news. And you guys are helping credit unions, and that means credit unions are better able to help out their members through these kind of challenging times. So good stuff here. All right. The topic at hand, what to do with a tech leader vacancy at your credit union. And I think this is probably happening more often than not. And gosh, I get a phone call. No. Oh, a text message. Sorry. Anyway, I apologize for that. Stuff just appears on my screen and on my watch. And so it's craziness here.
I thought you were setting me up for like someone calling you to say, hey, I just lost my tech person. It was a great little bit you had going on.
That would have been excellent.
Yes.
But I didn't. I wasn't that bright. But you're the bright one here, Kyle. So lay out the scenario here. Give us kind of a summary of what would happen in this instance. And then we'll go, what do you do if you experience a vacancy here?
Well, first, the reason we're even talking about it is that it's a real thing happening in our industry. And not to scare the CEOs or SVPs out there that are maybe looking at the scenario or hadn't considered it. I just did a quick count on one hand here, and we were five in the last 2 months of top tech leaders that have vacated or went to other positions, people reaching out to us. And we obviously don't have a larger footprint on everything that's going on, but we hear things are happening very similar in other institutions that maybe we're not directly involved in. And this is not happening just at a small or large institution. I mean, these would range from many, many billions into the billion range, down into the 500, 300 million range, where, you know, their top technical resource or lead is no longer with them for a number of reasons. So what we see really happening in the industry, and it's hard to put a finger on exactly what's causing it, but there's definitely some contributing factors. One is that people feel a little more comfortable that things are starting to change and it's more safe maybe to make a change because it's not as chaotic. So that's one thing that may be happening. The other is that it's a tight job market. A top tech person, engineer or resource, as well as a top tech leader, they're being sought after. We know that there are recruiters that are actively going after, and they're going after people employed because those are the people that you really want to have work with you and potentially look at. And then the other side that I'm not sure we've given enough acknowledgement to in our industry is that the remote work, which we've learned to help adjust and credit unions are learning to adjust to, that's changing a little bit of the job market. Mm-hmm. I was able to talk to some of the leaders who actually made moves, and a number of them specifically said, I was able to entertain something that was now more than 2 hours away and that had pay that was more in a metropolitan area, and yet I'm still living, you know, in my same house and doing the same sort of work that I was doing before. So it makes it an interesting dynamic and kind of raises the risk that we may see additional transitions in our industry. And we all have to be prepared and thinking about these possibilities.
Yeah, there's a lot of movement going on out there inside, and these recruiters, they're tapping people inside the industry, outside the industry.
Oh,
and so there's
and we've seen movement both ways, oddly enough. Yeah. I mean, we love leaders that are so ingrained in the industry that they would never leave. But that's not always the case. I mean, there's definitely been those that have been enticed to city or municipality, you know, jobs, school, healthcare. So we've seen people leave the industry, but stay in the same general area or in the same region. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we've seen, yes, new talent that's coming in and interested in joining the industry.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so let's look at it from the credit union perspective here, because, I mean, losing anybody is a painful thing to do because, you know, you're growing the relationship, there's, you know, got the processes and procedures in place and planning and all that type of stuff. But for technology's sake, I mean, that's a hard one as well, because technology is changing so fast these days. And this person has probably laid out, you know, a plan for who knows how many years out, or laid the groundwork basically, or mm-hmm. has really put in place some really cool, you know, effective processes and procedures. So this is a huge thing for a credit union to leave a, you know, one of their technology leaders. This vacancy is a big deal here. So what does a credit union do in this case?
Well, you know, first they panic, and then they go, I'm just joking. You know, there's we have seasoned leaders in our industry. And there is that moment where you do wonder, like, this is a specialized role for many of our institutions, even the ones that have kind of matured the role. And it's something that's very closely tied and partnered with the business. It's still someone who speaks a different language than some others in the institution.
You're
it's
right.
Someone who understands more of the technology, who may have a better way to interact with at least the technology vendors. As you said, there's roadmaps. So I say that jokingly, but there is somewhat of a unique component to this that can be a little more challenging. Like, who could I also have for my leadership team just step in is a harder discussion to have.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's a first step that we've had some great conversations with CEOs and SVPs to say, well, do you really know where you're sitting? Because you mentioned processes. So, you know, we preach people, process, and technology. So it is about those three components that really can help you get a handle on maybe where you sit today before an event like that were to happen. I'm going to just briefly talk about each of those.
Sure.
But I think that's a concept, is prepare a little bit beforehand and know that you're going to have to think about the people, the process, technology, and that most institutions have high talented staff that can keep the daily work rolling. And that's one of the things you want to look at. So if we just talk people, what are their strengths and weaknesses? And I'm not meaning individuals.
Mm-hmm.
A good thing for an executive or someone to understand is where is my team really strong? Can they just handle the daily operations? Are the processes there for that? Are they really good at service? Are they really good at projects? Are they really good at connecting with the business needs? Are they really good at setting that roadmap? Because usually the IT groups are not good at all of them. Or there's a key resource that handles each of those components.
Yeah.
And so understanding the larger picture is really helpful. So if an event does happen, you know whether you really need to pull in someone who can help guide and make decisions and lead things, or whether you have a daily operational issue that's going to immediately impact members. Either way, you're going to have an impact, but it could be based on projects or enterprise initiatives, or it could be based on daily activities and support for your employees, which directly relates to how you treat your members. But understanding that skill set, understanding kind of what the framework is for your departments, the IT departments, and how mm-hmm. they're divided is important. Don't just let that be owned by one individual.
Yeah, good point.
That's understood beyond them.
Good point. What about culture too? I mean, we talk about culture throughout a credit union, how important that is, but you can have a different culture within, especially in a technology department. You can definitely have its own little culture in there. So, and a philosophy and the way you do things, again, the whole process and procedures and how they're looking at things and how they're looking at, you know, different technologies on the horizon and things like that. What about that type of culture? I mean, that's hard to replace when you have a talented individual, a good leader, especially in a technology position as we're talking here, that's hard to replace. And so that's a big deal. It's a big deal for a credit union.
It is a big deal. It's a big deal, and it's also an opportunity. So we would preach, I specifically feel that you don't want a different culture. You could have your team nuances and special things about your various teams throughout the institution, but we really like to see technology areas who are fully integrated in the culture of the whole credit union.
Right.
They understand what the larger initiatives are.
Yeah.
So I would actually propose that's potentially a warning sign. If you have such a tight-knit club or isolated culture that's happening just in IT,
yeah,
that may be something to look at sooner than later. You do want a strong leader who can guide them, but guide the group to be part of everything else that's going around. Okay. The same service philosophies that you want for your members should be coming out of your IT and your service areas internally. The same drive to serve the member and the member experience should be happening, even if they have to trace one or two dots away from the member to say, okay, well, I helped the member by helping this employee, or I helped the member by keeping the ATM systems up and by doing system updates on the core, or whatever it is that they need to do to connect with the member and connect with the credit union culture. That's extremely important. And that, I guess that would be a warning sign before you have someone leave, or an opportunity if someone leaves to evaluate, where is my culture and who is driving that? It's the idea of a solid wood oak door that, you know, isolates, or the perimeter where you have the fingerprints or you have badge swiping because everything's so secure. It's almost a concern to us when you see that IT is isolated from everything else. Now you have to take care of security and data, but the people are an integral part of everything going on at the credit union, just like every other department.
Yeah. And I want to look at it from the CEO's position as well. Anytime you have talented individuals, especially in a leadership position, there's always that, I don't want to say a threat, that might be too strong of a word, but I'm going to use it. There's that threat that they may get poached. They may get, yes, you know, recruited to somewhere else. So how does a CEO prepare? I mean, do they have some sort of, I mean, I may be completely ignorant here, but do they have some sort of succession plan in store in case something like this happens? I mean, it would behoove the person leaving to let their superior know, hey, you know what, I'm thinking about leaving, or somebody approached me and I'm really considering this position. That would be good on the person who might be leaving's part, you know,
right,
let the CEO know. But what's your perspective on that?
That is really hard for individuals to do. I mean, it's to have it to go with trust to your CEO or to your supervisor and say, hey, I think I'm thinking of leaving and here's the conversation. There's just this fear around, oh, I'll be let go right away or they'll lose trust in me. So
yeah,
that's a challenging one. So you almost have to assume that you won't get that heads up. You want to know where the department is headed. You want to understand a roadmap. And part of that roadmap is, you know, the connection to your overall strategic goals. So this really helps the CEO know, okay, well, where is my department going? And if you know that that's owned by someone more than just the one IT leader, that's extremely important, because then you know that at least others understand the concept. They know what the top three priorities are for the credit union. Well, they also know what their top three priorities are for the IT area.
Yeah,
that's good. There's also this concept of tech debt that is often only understood in the IT area. And the challenge for that is it's a conversation where the IT leader comes and says, I need to spend money on this. But a healthier conversation is to say, here's where we're at in our roadmap and our maturity and our life cycle of our systems and equipment. And so am I looking at, I'm in the middle of a 5-year refresh cycle or 3-year refresh cycle, or every year I refresh these systems or I refresh this? Because just because you spent money recently on systems does not mean that you actually updated your technology. You may have just bought new equipment doing the same thing.
Right. Yeah.
That's not really what you want as a credit union. You want to be advancing the value and increasing the value, increasing the automation, increasing the efficiency. So understanding that, which is a conversation with your tech leader, that's not about buying things and it's not about skill sets and it's not about hiring more people, but it's about realistic, here's the gaps we have and here's our tech debt that we are working with and here's how we're going to address it in our roadmap. And then at least everyone has some general picture to work with. It doesn't hurt then to know your hiring practice. It right now could be really hard to just put out a resume and find someone. You may be working with recruiters.
Mm-hmm.
You may be working with trusted vendors. And that's a reality. And finding those beforehand is helpful to know what's out there and who you're going to be able to reach out to.
Yeah. Oh, to be a recruiter right now. My gosh, they're busy. So, and hey, speaking of that, I want to wrap up by asking you guys. So you guys kind of deal with this as well, right? You're going to go out there and search for folks and place folks or technology folks in credit unions, or tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we definitely help network and connect people who are looking. We don't poach from other credit unions
to
other credit unions. Just to make sure we're all clear here.
No.
I don't want any concern there. where we start with is often with that communication. So before someone leaves and assessing and understanding the maturity and the roadmap of where our institution is going, if that's not able to be put together by the current team or they're just swamped, we help there. Or we often, when someone leaves, we'll be invited in to say, can you give me a sense of where the people, the process, the technology are? So if I'm going to hire someone, am I hiring someone that's a CIO and connected closely to the business? Do I need to hire someone that still has their hands in the technology and works with the team? Where am I at? How can I take the next step and advance things for the credit union? So we help there a lot. And then sometimes we'll fill in temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
I've done this. I think every one of our top architects has done this, where we fill in temporarily in a CIO, a CTO, a director of infrastructure role, just to help bridge a gap in order to guide them. And sometimes that's intended to keep a project moving, or it's intended to help with that assessment component. So yeah, know your trusted partners. There's another cycle of vendors. You know, you don't want to bring in a vendor that you're currently having a struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know you have some trusted vendors you can bring in that may be able to shore things up, it may even change your staffing cycle.
Yeah, true.
See a lot of credit unions say, you know what, I can get my basic foundational services handled with a vendor, and now my staff are doing more valuable projects. They're delivering on things my members need, or vice versa, bring in special skill sets that you don't have and use your team that you have in high value service response areas. So yeah, we definitely help in those, but it's a help on the journey. We're not necessarily trying to just place someone, but we would help more on the interviewing side, I guess, instead of a direct placement.
Okay.
I've been involved, as well as most of our leadership has been involved, in helping interview and vet from a technology and leadership perspective.
Gotcha.
Your tech leader, because it's hard for a CEO or an SVP to know, you know, is this person coming in really have the experience in those areas they say are on their resume?
Yep. Is he or she the real deal? So
exactly.
You guys can help figure that out for them. So good stuff. All right, sir. Hey, where can folks go to find you guys to maybe ask a few questions? Hey, we're experiencing this, because I think it's probably quite prevalent in this industry right now. Because I know personally, I know quite a few people that have done exactly what we've talked about the last 10 minutes. So quite a few people in this industry. So it's pretty popular right now.
Yeah. PureITQSO.com. That's the best way to go. Or look us up on LinkedIn for anyone in that range, and reach out to Jack or myself or Stacey, any one of the co-founders. Always happy to have a conversation. Always happy to connect you with someone else who's just gone through this journey. As I said, we know five going through the journey right now.
Wow.
And I probably missed a few, but there's a sixth that just came to mind that they went out of the industry, and now the institution's, you know, trying to replace them. It's very relevant that right now this is something we need to be prepared for.
Yeah, I think so too. You're right. All right. Well, that's why I wanted to have you on to dive into it a little bit deeper. So maybe shed some light on some credit unions out there experiencing this right now. So good stuff. All right, Kyle. Well, I'm going to let you get back to work, because I know you probably have a full plate. So I don't want to keep you from your job, sir. So appreciate the time, though.
Thank you very much. Yeah. If you Mike, if you got some tech skills I don't know about, I know a lot of credit unions looking for help right now. So reach out to me. Maybe I can connect you.
Okay. I think I was really good at Mac Paint when it first came out with the original Apple.
Good.
Yeah. I was really good at that.
I was good at those basic grills that threw, you know, you put in an angle and they threw bananas at each other. You know,
Donkey Kong? Was that what you're talking about?
No, it's before that. It was an Apple II. Apple II game. Yes.
Mine was an Apple SE, and it was about that big. And boy, I was really good at Mac Paint, but that's about the extent of my technology. So anyway, I digress.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, Kyle. Well done, sir.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.